plotters. It's Jen. And guess what? It's not just me doing a little blurb. We actually have our hosts of Shocked and Applaud here as well. Say hello, Naomi.
Hello, Naomi.
And hello, Lydia.
Hello, Lydia.
We are doing a brief little blurb of an episode before we give you this month's episode. Would either of you like to tell me what we just watched and what we're doing this month? Let's go ahead and announce it now so that everybody can get ready.
Yeah, like let's cut the suspense. Life is hard enough, and if I want you to be able to look forward to the movie we're about to review, not right now, in the next episode, like the next full episode, which is not too far away, but Lydia. Yep.
This is punishment for the last episode. And it's 1968 because they have to be 1 year off from like the obvious joke. Barbarella, starring Jane Fonda.
I will tell you that one of my favorite like Letterkenny jokes is, "Do you want a 68? That's where you go. I owe you one."
How am I gonna bleep that?
I don't know.
I'll figure it out.
The link in the bio to the clip from the show.
Yeah, so next week you will get part one of our review of Barbarella.
But we didn't want to leave you high and dry this week.
So before we get started on whatever we decide to talk about, I do have an actual email. Somebody emailed us.
Okay, so I heard this email and then I smiled for like, I mean, like I freaked out and talked to everyone. And then I was like on a high for like a week.
Yeah, we got a letter from Logan, and Logan actually found us through Sean handing out stickers and business cards at a Comic-Con. And so thank you very much, Sean, for helping us reach out and find new listeners just like Logan. And this may surprise you, but he really enjoyed our review of House.
Only the first half of the one-syllable word House. The how part is is what I appreciate about that.
So Logan's given us, kind of the go-ahead to go ahead and read this email that he sent us here. "Hello, I wanted to write a letter. Felt it was nicer and easier to do than a Facebook post," which is very nice of him, because nobody looks at our Facebook page, rarely even me. "I wanted to tell you that I found out about the podcast from Sean at Lilac City Comic Con in early October. I am always on the lookout for new podcasts, but the one thing that sent me going to your show is because I have so few podcasts with women as the hosts. I didn't know what to expect, but the show is very funny and insightful as well." I hope he's listening to the same podcast that we're recording.
We bring it, Jen.
"I love movie podcasts, so it's an easy get for me, but that a lot of your episodes are movies I have seen really makes it fun to get into. And my first episode was Brave Little Toaster, which is one of my favorite movies and is also, BT Dubs, one of our most popular episodes. I also love that the language is virtually non-existent unless you sign up for the Patreon."
If you want to hear our unbleeped episodes, give us a dollar.
"I just finished the Houseu episode, and I found it interesting in more ways than one. I have seen the movie, but it's been maybe 8 years since my last viewing, and I was shocked that of the hosts, it wasn't loved the way that maybe I loved it. This gets better, I promise. I listened on, following, and keeping an open mind, and I wanted to say now that I've finished the month's episode, I actually appreciated the way you've made me think about the movie. It's easy to get into the shows that can become my own personal echo chambers, but this show had three women who challenged me just a bit and has given me a show I really enjoy and will happily continue following. I wish I had some way to financially contribute to the show, and maybe I will in the future. I hope in the meantime the clicks and listening of the show will be okay." That is totally okay, Logan.
Thank you, Logan.
Appreciate it.
"I'll also plug your show in any of my friend groups or podcast suggestion posts I see. Hope you all have a wonderful day at whatever time you read this, and I feel like I have an idea of what next month's EP will be in the end of the episode." That was a clue. But I already let him know it wasn't a clue. Naomi just, I had asked Naomi if there's anything special I should do for the outro for the final part of Houseu, and she just started talking like in this really racist Italian voice.
It is a Brooklyn stereotype voice. I don't know any Italians. I probably do know some Italians, but I don't think of them as the Italians that I know. But it was me ripping off that TikTok that's like, why does my door sound like Yoshi? And then somebody opens the door and it's like, hey, yo, I'm the dinosaur from Mario. It's like one of the greatest TikToks. And I'd give you the source, but you could find it.
So it was our Halloween episode anyway, week up to Halloween. So I just decided that I would do a vocal dress up.
I love your voices. In high school, you were the person with 1,000 voices.
Yeah, drama class.
Yeah. But it was so good.
Well, thank you very much for your comments, Logan. If anyone else listening would like to send us some feedback, we're always open to it. You can send that to shockedandapplaud@gmail.com.
We're clumsy. We'll name drop. Not going to lie.
We also have a contact form at shockedandapplaud.com that you can send those to, as well as rate our episodes. And you can also rate us on Apple Podcasts as well as podchaser.com.
Beautiful.
Sweet.
Awesome.
So,
what are we talking about, Naomi?
We can't not talk about. Okay, so in Barbarella, so many interesting ways to be knocked off, right? Like just the most insane situations. And so I'm curious, my ladies, it doesn't have to be the dumbest, but what is like the most bizarre way that you skirted death, a la Jane Fonda? Like, you got so close. Like, it's just real, maybe a little sus, maybe a little, like, just, like, okay. So, when I die and I end up wherever I end up, if you get to have the grand playback machine, I think it'll take a few thousand years before I ask, but I will want to know the closest ways I didn't know that I almost died. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't want to know when I almost ate that thing, or when I almost choked on that thing, or when I almost fell off that other thing. You know, where you catch yourself by a hand, but otherwise your head would have been on the concrete. You know what I mean? It's too wordy. I get it. I just want to know a bizarre circumstance where you almost got mortally injured.
So you are asking for an inconceivably outlandish or even foolish way to escape this mortal coil?
I mean, like, the human condition is a fatal experience. What?
Do you know what walking is?
People fail at it all the time.
No, but do you know what it is? It's a series of controlled falls. That's why we are able through evolution, it's like because of the fact that we're not taking up as much energy to actually run the way that like an elk is or a deer is.
Okay.
That's why we were able to, you know, that was like one of the things that helped us track. It wasn't just the spears and it wasn't just, you know, being able to track them. It was also the fact that we didn't necessarily tire as easily because we weren't taking as much energy.
And then we had all those extra calories to grow our brains to the second largest size of brain on the planet.
Right. So foolish ways to extinct yourself.
That has happened to you.
Yes.
Let's tell each other about our lives. I mean, you should face the firing squad first, Lydia.
All right. So I wouldn't say that this is something that caused me to possibly die, but got pretty close. And it gets weird because of perspective. So I'm like 13. My parents went to Hawaii because they never really took time for themselves because they got like 4 kids and my mom was a workaholic. But they left and it was just the 4 of us girls. And one day, my 3 sisters went to the grocery store and I was like, yeah, I just want to, you know, stay at home. I just want to chill. And I'm doing that thing where, first of all, I'm making cocoa. And so I'm heating up the water and it's taking a while for everything to heat up. And so I'm doing this thing where I'm like leaning up against the counter, but I'm wearing socks. So I'm letting myself slide a little bit.
Okay.
And I catch myself. And then I let myself slide a little bit. And then I catch myself, but I get back into position and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like this game and everything. And I slip, but before I slip, it literally does feel like something's grabbing at my ankles and pulling me down.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just my perspective because I grew up in a very, you know, Pentecostal house and demons everywhere, that sort of thing. But anyways, I fell down so hard that I broke my arm. And I like to think that if something else had cracked, I would probably have maybe died because, like, I mean, you're falling pretty hard enough for whatever reason to crack a bone.
Wow.
And like, again, you know, perspective's another thing. So it was just like...
Yeah, like the extreme of the injury to the task you were doing.
I was making cocoa and sliding on linoleum.
A la Tom Cruise. You were like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Sort of, but it wasn't nearly as
forth,
cool.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't nearly that cool. I was like, I'm going to lean up against the counter and then slide.
Yeah, but I've done that 1,000 times.
Right.
Yeah.
But imagine if my arm didn't break. What if my head broke?
Oh, what if you clocked the counter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Lids. I'm glad you're okay now.
Yeah, me too. And also, I have never broken a bone since, and I'm really hoping that I don't.
I'm one of the never having broken a bone club, and it terrifies me.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I don't drink as much milk as I used to, and I'm terrified.
I've only been in like one car crash, but I was like in the passenger seat, so I don't think that counts. I have never caused a car crash while I was behind the wheel, and I'm terrified of the day when I might do that because it's going to be like either 50 car pileup. Like that's my fear. It probably won't.
Most likely a fender bender.
Right.
Yeah. I don't imagine you being a distracted driver.
Mm-hmm.
I have been. I try not to be.
I'm a distracted driver, so anyway.
But a successful distracted. All right, Jen, what's up? What's an interesting? We have to know life threatening,
or even something that might have been life threatening.
Yeah, like it felt like it.
Well, there was one time when I was like maybe 4 or 5, and we were as a family. I've talked about this before. The Kerwin family. My mom's side of the family does lots of birthdays together. And so we were out for somebody's birthday and we were at a park and there was a pretty deep lake like right next to the park. And I remember just kind of being there alone, which seems odd for a 3 or 4 year old to maybe have happen next to a pretty deep body of water. But I remember trying to look really, really hard into the lake, and I slipped right into that lake, and I was full body down. Like I was reaching for the top of the water. Like I could not figure out how to get myself back up out of this. And thankfully, Cousin Travis, his dad actually saw what was happening, where somebody else saw and called on him to go pull me out of that water. And then I don't think they had like a towel or anything to dry me off. So I was just kind of walking around with another adult around the park so that my clothes would dry a little bit faster. But I am certain that however I die, it's going to involve water somehow.
No!
Because we have recently taken a vacation to...
For your birthday.
Yeah, to the ocean. And we'd finished watching the, I guess, 35th anniversary of the Transformers movie. And we were driving back to our little campsite next to the ocean. And it was pretty rainy all over the Pacific Northwest. But for sure... The closer you get to the ocean, the harder that rain is.
It was the wipers were on full blast.
Full blast. We didn't really skid too much, but we
hydroplaned for sure.
For sure. And I know that it made me recall the first couple of minutes of Psycho. When the lady, I can't remember the character's name, she has to like literally pull over to the side of the road because of how rainy it is.
Yeah, you get why. I mean, now you more modern, you'd probably be like, why didn't you just go the whole way? Or why didn't you pull to a rest stop and like sleep or whatever to have it the weather be so inclement that you're like, or inclement, however you actually say that word, but to be like, we're done for tonight. We're done. I was done.
Yeah, and I personally don't drive very often. I'd ask you to drive us most places. So it was certainly kind of a frightening experience for the both of us.
The weather was so bad, I started having like a panic attack. And I had been driving. And normally for a 3 hour or less drive, I'm good for it. And it was only about 2.5 hours away. So when I stopped and I was like, Jen, I need you to drive. And then we were like pulling over to let cars pass us. We looked like if it hadn't been, the weather hadn't been so bad, you would have thought we were like 16-year-olds like driving for the first time. Like I was like, just pull over, let him pass. It's fine. If you need to put on your emergency flashers, do it. And every time we hit a puddle or the windshield became so wet that you like couldn't see through it, or the cars were coming up and like going around us all pissed, like I squealed and like clenched. And I mean, you've heard me, you see me, I'm not that guy, you know. You really were the heroine that day for sure. I couldn't. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's my story. Death by water, it certainly seems, at least very much the close calls. Like, we're obviously in the good timeline.
It's just another reason to have your towel with you at all times.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Naomi?
Okay, guys, my life is a farce. And I mean, like Murphy's Law, like straight up exists, I think, for me, except it exists so hard for me that they didn't put my name on it. So 2014, I had weight loss surgery. Don't regret it. It's worked out well. The following April, so like 4-ish, maybe 5 months later, I was going to go on a little dinner date with a friend, and I was very hungry, but I had a very small stomach. I could only do about two servings of food, like of a food type. I could do like, you know, a quarter cup-ish of food. And so I had these, I wanted soba noodles, but I didn't have any. And I had these shiitake noodles, which are a yam-based noodle. And the package said you can eat them cold or hot, right? I've since learned that it's cold or hot once it's been cooked. Mm-hmm. So you could see the confusion. I made a little sauce. I ate it. It was delicious. I waited a few hours and then I was off to dinner, right? Which happened to also be Korean food. So I eat with this friend of mine, and I feel like there's this thing that happens called dumping syndrome, and you feel nauseous, you feel bloated. Either you have to sit with these flu-like symptoms for like an hour or two, or you go expel the food and then you feel better, right? Sorry, it's gross, but it's important to the story. So I go to the bathroom at this Korean place, and I try to get rid of it. I'm like, look, I screwed it up. I should just get rid of it and then I can be normal. But it doesn't come up. And I'm like, oh, all right, maybe I'm just reading my body wrong. I've only been, you know, in this state for a few months. So I was supposed to take this person that I'm with to Seattle, but I start feeling really, I mean, it's coming down on me hard. And I'm like, I can't. I don't think I can drive to Seattle and then all the way back to Tacoma. Do you mind if I drop you at the transit center? And they're like, yeah. So I drop them so they can go to their party. I still feel a little bad about that, but the story makes sense. So I drive home. So I start to get really nauseated, right? I do everything I can think of. Like I drink a little bit of water. That doesn't help. That comes up. So now I'm starting to vomit, right? And now it's like 6 o'clock and then it's 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Jen has the flu and is down and I'm feeling awful. So I'm down and now it's 9 o'clock and I've gotten up every 10 minutes. And now it's 10 o'clock and I'm getting up every five to 10 minutes. And then I realize that I'm keeping Jen awake and Jen is sick. So then I go lay on the couch and then I'm up every 4 minutes, 2 minutes, every 1 minute. I have lost all of the fluid that I could. So I get like a cup and then I'm just laying there and every minute to 30 seconds, I'm trying. Oh, this is also like a side note. Sorry to tell stories, but Jen gets up to go use the restroom. It's like 11 o'clock. Jen has Vassal Vargas syndrome, which is just a lightheadedness that comes with stress, and she passes out. I am laying on the couch looking at the bathroom. Jen falls over, just keels over, and I'm like, ugh. I crawl over to Jen and I'm like, and I like check to make sure that she hasn't like bleeding out from a head injury. And Jen's brother comes down the stairs and is like, what's going on? And I'm like, Jen passed out. And he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't stop.
So when you're saying, you're talking about like every hour, you know, getting up, are you expelling every time?
Yeah, except I lose everything. So now it's just like water.
Yeah.
And like some mucus, but like nothing really exciting. There's nothing there to expel anymore. Right. I mean, that's what makes The Exorcist unreliable for mm-hmm. the amounts of fluids inside a tiny child. Or maybe that makes it more supernatural. I make brother-in-law put Jen's legs up. Because if the face is pale, raise the tail. Mm-hmm. Face is red, raise the head, right? Good first aid stuff. And then I'm like I'm like, get her to bed. Jen's mom comes downstairs. It's midnight mm-hmm. now. And she's like, we're calling 911. And I get my first ambulance ride. Thank God I had really good insurance back then. So then they're like, which hospital do you want to go to? And I say, X hospital, right? Well, they're like, we'll give you something for nausea. And I was like, awesome. Pass out. I wake up for a brief second. And then I'm in another hospital. I'm in Y hospital. And my mom's arm is around me, right? And I am like, what is going on? Right? My mom's shaking me and pointing at the doctor, who's a very attractive, and I'm not being racist. It's just that I'd eaten so much Korean food. It was a Korean doctor. He's very attractive, right? And he's all like, oh, he's got a piece of paper and he's drawing on it. And mom's like, you need to see this. You need to see this. And I'm like, what do I need to see? And he's like, and so there was a blockage here. And we went in laparoscopically, and it's just noodles, noodles, noodles. And he does this thing that looks like he's pulling. I know. It looks like he's pulling. Have you ever juggled scarves? Except he was describing
juggling noodles,
shiitake noodles with a ton of green onions on them. And I'm sorry, but like, there's a lot of green onions in Korean cooking. And so like, I'm pretty sure I ruined him for a long time. I came out okay.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Luckily, I ended up in the hospital for a week. The initial surgery to have weight loss surgery is a day out. So they might keep you overnight if you have a very invasive style of bariatric surgery. But I was in the hospital to check for infections, to be on super antibiotics a whole week. And I left with these things called tulip bulbs. Have you seen these things? It's a light suction. Imagine like a Nerf ball, but really soft mm-hmm. rubber or plastic, and you compress it and then you screw it on and you leave the tube leading from it into the wound, right? And what it does is it applies slight suction. So if you have any fluid buildup or you have any kind of discharge, it'll go into this tulip bulb. And I only mentioned that grossness because it meant I had to wait another week and then go back to the doctor's office to have a nurse remove the tubes. It's like one stitch, remove the tube, you're good, right? So I walk in and I meet my appointment. They're removing the tubes. They're like, the lady assumed that I had come in from having the initial weight loss surgery. And I go, oh no, actually I had a blockage and I had to have an emergency surgery. And this nurse, bless her heart, leans into me. She goes, you're the noodlectomy? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. So I've never been told, but I am pretty sure there's either a paper or at least an anecdotal trail through the weight loss surgery community of doctors.
There's famous and then there's medical famous.
Medically infamous. That's the dumbest way I almost died. I didn't cook noodles.
Well, we're just about out of time because I don't want to edit anymore. Naomi and I are going to Colorado for Bruce Fest.
Bruce Campbell's going to meet me, and nice. I'm going to meet Bruce Campbell.
You guys going to take out some podcast stickers and business cards?
I was going to put some in my wallet.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I guess until next week when we start our episode, this is Jen McQuaid.
This is Naomi McQuaid.
And this is Lydia Malcolm.
And this is Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening. Should we clap at the end of this one, too?
Finger snaps?
Yeah, finger snaps.
Yeah. Yay for not dying.